painful to see him up there. But in many ways, in some respects, that is Muhammad Ali's last victory. The same presidents that used to bug his phone and harass him and subject him to COINTELPRO now have to stand over his body.
Dave Zirin and Dahlia Mugahed, I want to thank you so much for being with us. This does it for our show. They were speaking to us from Louisville. I'll be in Chicago Saturday, June 11th, Jones College Prep at 3 for the 2016 Printers Row Literary Festival. That does it for the broadcast. We have two job openings at Democracy Now! Check them out. Special thanks to Amy Littlefield and Carla Wills.
Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
Dearly beloved,
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Prince vs. Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on Saturday, June 11th. Put on some purple, grab your dancing shoes and a bicycle for a rock and mobile dance party with Diablo. We'll gather at 7 p.m. at Sewell Crest Park on Southeast 32nd Avenue, just south of Hawthorne. More information at kboo.fm under Community Events. Again, Prince vs. Bowie, Saturday, June 11th at 7 p.m.
Good morning. The time is 8 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. And coming up, it's Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Today, Ani and Lynn look at rape culture through the lens of the recent sentencing of Brock Turner, a Stanford student who received a six-month sentence after being found guilty of three counts of felony sexual assault. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Country Fair, July 8th, 9th, and 10th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vineta, Oregon. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. Directions to this family event and information on the shuttle at Valley River Center available online at OregonCountryFair.org. And also by The Art of Living, presenting Get Happy Portland, a two-day immersive experience of breathing techniques and meditation by global humanitarian Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. Get Happy Portland tickets, or no, sorry, Get Happy Portland takes place July 5th and 6th at the Oregon Convention Center. Tickets and information are available at gethappyportland.org. Positively revolting.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Positively Revolting. You are listening to your very, very own community radio station. And it's called KBOO, by the way. your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And here we are together again, inviting you to be positively revolting. Revolting in a positive manner, that is. And to start off, we have an unusual treat. It's true. We actually have a pretty heavy show lined up, so let's take the treats where we can. Neil deGrasse Tyson is coming to Portland in September. I can't even believe that. I just want to be close. Neil deGrasse Tyson coming to Portland in September. One of my heroes. Anyway, he's going to be at the Keller Auditorium September 19th at 7:30 p.m. And we have a pair of tickets to the third caller this morning at
number three,
because, well, three is a magic number. For those that remember Schoolhouse Rock, you know three is a magic number. And you can call 503-231-8187 if you would like a pair of tickets to see Neil deGrasse Tyson. The third caller gets them, and our happy Magic Engineering Pitsy will, in fact, be taking your name and number. 503-231-8187, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the Keller Auditorium in September.
You know you want to see him.
Oh, my God, he's fabulous. I love the way he takes on creationism. Anyway, I love the way so much. That all said, that was your treat for the morning. Now it's time to get on with the tempe of the show. We have a lot to talk about today. We are talking about rape culture. It's a topic that we revisit with some frequency, unfortunately. And the reason we do that is because there's never a shortage of outrage, really. And this last week has brought fresh outrage as we have looked at the case of Brock Turner and his sentencing and the rationale that went into the sentencing, the letters of character reference from his friends and family. There are a couple that are so egregiously disgusting as to really warrant special attention. And then there is also the letter of the survivor that was read out loud in the courtroom, which just really emphasized the horror and misplaced sympathies of the judge.
I just want to say that in case someone has been under a rock, Brock Turner was convicted of rape. Was it sexual assault?
Three counts of felony sexual assault.
Three counts of felony sexual assault, and was basically slapped on the wrist.
He was sentenced to 6 months in the county jail.
And he might get out with good behavior, which I find that's a cruel use of irony, in 90 days.
As the judge says, he doesn't expect there to be any problems with Brock's behaviors. He's really a good guy.
I know.
That was a paraphrase, but it's a pretty close paraphrase.
This is not unusual. Amy Zerling has a movie out called The Hunted, which is about rape culture on campuses. And one of the things she said about this, though, that I found slightly...
The Hunted,
The Hunted is a different movie.
I was going to say, wait.
I sit corrected on that one, let me tell you. All right. That she called this a watershed moment simply because she was she or an associate of hers was in the courtroom and heard the victim read her statement and thought this should go out. So they published it and it went viral. And she calls it a watershed moment because of the release of that letter and that so many people got to actually hear it. That has boosted people's awareness of what exactly is going on college campuses. And, you know, if you want to get metaphorical about it, this is what's happening to the earth. It's a rape is just a way of life in the culture at this particular point. And ways to deal with that have to do with awareness, I think, more than anything else at this particular time. I applaud that woman for staying anonymous at the moment because, you know, maybe years from now, but in the hunting ground, there's another woman who had exactly the same thing happen, except she was with a friend of hers and they were both knocked out.
Well, and this is the sort of thing that we actually hear about.
And it was the same sort of attitude by the prosecution.
Right. And that is the sort of thing that we hear about, you know, again, with frequency, right? This is why we keep doing these programs on rape culture, because
not that we want to, we really would rather not.
Somebody actually had put it this way, that when it comes to, this was a tweet that was sort of publicized and put out more, when it comes to rape, it's really people, the jury, the judges, tend to look at the woman's past and how she may have, you know, not been a virtue, a paragon of virtue, a virgin, a pure, as the driven snow, possibly blotchy, possibly stained, possibly she deserved it somehow. Like, let's look for those ways that her past can give us a clue as to how this happened to her. Whereas the rapist, that same judge and society in general looks at their future potential. What's he going to lose by, you know, being punished for this act? And that certainly is exemplified in this case. So we want to hear your opinions. 503-231-8187 is the number to call in. And you too can join in this conversation. There's so much to talk about here. There's so much to unpack. One of the things that people are particularly outraged about in this case, and I guess, you know, it's the outrage is pretty widespread at this time. In fact, the outrage is so high that jurors that were being seated on a case for Judge Persky's another trial at this judge's under this judge's purview, Judge Persky. There's a recall effort actually out for him at this time.
Yeah, I guess he very quietly, he was unopposed in election and very quietly sat back on his chair on the bench.
Mm. That jurors who were being seated at a new trial this week in his office, in his chambers, said no, that they will not serve on a jury with him presiding because they are so disgusted with his ability to sit as a judge. And he actually has responded he understood and excused them.
Not going to change my behavior. Certainly off you go.
Yeah, interesting thing. So let's go ahead at 503-231-8187.
And the tickets are gone, by the way. So, but thanks for all who called.
Thanks for playing.
And have fun, whoever it was that got the tickets. See, Amy, have fun at Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, good luck, and that's awesome. Let's go ahead and talk to Helen, shall we? Good morning,
yeah.
Helen. You're on the air.
Now, you girls are probably going to be mad at me, but I lived a long time, and I was raped by a stranger, but that was something different. But my question is, what are these women doing in drinking so much they pass out? I mean, isn't the idea that women should keep their power in all respects?
All right, I see Lynn's finger in the air.
Helen, thank you so much. I first of all, I'm really sorry that you are blowing off your own rape as sort of inconsequential, because it's...
I don't do that.
All
no,
right, but
I went
it's...
through a whole process. I went through the whole court system, and actually, I lost my case because what happened is I did not go to the hospital because who knows how much it was going to cost to have to be checked. And it was in a neighborhood when three other women were raped, and we had meetings with all a whole bunch of women. It was a long case.
Good. I'm very happy to hear. I'm happy to hear that that you fought it, and I understand how horrible it must be to do that. And and of course, who wants
the process of life is what it was.
Right.
I learned a lot.
Okay,
I understand.
The other thing is, it's still, it doesn't matter what state you're in, rape is not okay. It doesn't matter what your skirt looks like. It doesn't matter what you've been drinking. That does not, if someone is lying unconscious, that is not an excuse to rape them. There is no excuse for it. I don't care what, it is not the women's behavior that is the issue.
I understand what you're saying. I know that that's what you're going to say. But it seems to me like when, I know that I'm older, but when I was young, nobody drank and passed out. Like, what's happened to everybody?
Well, I don't, okay. I'm
older and people did.
I was going to say,
and
I think it depends on your circles.
I see.
Because I'm going to be 50 next month, and I have never actually, well, no, I take it back. Once I did drink to the point of passing out.
Oh.
And I was 22,
and I was with three friends, and we were having a great time, and we continued to have a great time. I heard I had a fabulous time.
Well, and have you heard of date rape drugs?
But I'm also, wait, I'm going to, I want to actually focus on Helen's question for a minute. So that, you know, I don't know, I'm 50, I don't know how much older you are. Lynn is somewhat older than I am.
I'm 75.
Okay, Lynn's, let's just say between us.
Okay.
She's a 60s kind of gal.
Right.
And, you know, again, she says in her peer group that happened, you know. And so I think the thing is that people sometimes do make mistakes, do make errors in judgment about how much their body can handle. The survivor in this case actually addresses that in her letter. And she talks about the fact that she drank several drinks quickly because several years before when she was actually in college, she had a tolerance and that would not have knocked her out.
I see.
But that she had not drank heavily for a while. Mm-hmm. And therefore she was surprised that her tolerance had lowered. And I think that we see, you know, certain examples. I know I've stayed up all night with friends who had passed out and were doing the, you know, possibly endangering themselves thing with the vomiting. You know, I've stayed up all night to make sure they weren't going to endanger themselves. And were they set out to, like, you know, do that? No. They made a mistake and had that one drink too many. And damn, look at that. Their tolerance was different than they had assumed it was for whatever reason. So I just want to put that out there. It's not like, wow, the society out of control. These women are crazy drinkers. And maybe some are. And still, that's not to the point. You know,
but also I think, I mean, again, because I was, when I was young, it was always kind of keeping an eye on things, keep an eye on what kind of jerks there are around there, you know, because there were, I mean, especially when you're in college, it was hard to find somebody to even date. And
right.
Not
right.
That I had any rape thing go on, but a person's attitude and the way they were, if they got a bit fresh, there was a certain amount of maybe fighting. I think there was that going on before it went to this length, you know.
You know, and the other thing that I remember back in the olden days, mm-hmm. is people were not considering it rape in those days. That was just something that, hey, you were out, you had a few drinks. I guess that's, if it's not unconsensual sex was not always thought of as rape. I remember it happening to me. I remember it happening to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
That I think people's attitudes, finally, younger women are getting what consent. And the thought, there's that whole thing about what's consensual sex, what's not. That is also
breathing, swimming, or non-breathing swimming?
Yeah, something like that. But what rape is and what it's not has evolved, and
right.
I applaud young women for
I think maybe then it was
getting it.
Being too aggressive, and it's like, you know, fighting your stand. I think it would be more trying to be too aggressive, and that would be shocking in itself, or how can you behave like this? You know, I mean, as far as talking to somebody, but again, that was before there was that much drinking.
Oh, God, there was just tons of drinking.
Again,
are you kidding me?
Might be different circles.
I was not doing it all, but I've seen much of it. And
But I think, overall, thank you very much for your call,
yes.
Helen. I think it's,
yes.
Those are good questions, and I think it's good to explore them.
Yeah, thank
and
you,
And still,
Helen.
To always look at the fact that women should not always have that responsibility of keeping an eye on their peers to make sure they're not about to be attacked by them. That is a part of rape culture, and that is the patriarchy. And that's something
that's kind
I'm
of the bottom
again.
Line of rape culture.
I'm again. All right, let's go ahead and 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And good morning, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I'm really trying to wrap my head around this notion that even if a woman does go to a party and gets intoxicated, I don't know why there are other women defending, like, I still, as a man, have no reason or no right to violate her. It's kind of like, who, you know, to see this judge and to hear this man, Brock's father, 20 minutes of action, I'm thinking to myself, I find it so, like, is this really happening in 2016 where it's almost okay to still do this? And I've been on blogs, I've been watching some of these TV shows, and I see almost, sadly, more women defending him to a certain degree, like, I just don't get it. Like, you know, it's her fault for being inebriated. That still does not give a man the right to violate her. And I'm really just, are we in the Twilight Zone? This is really bizarro world type of stuff that it's, I was raised that it's just common sense, but I guess not. So
No, you were raised right. You were raised that it is just common sense.
You just don't rape people. I guess that's...
Yeah, number one. How do you stop rape? Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it, but I guess not. I also want to bring up the point of a Mr. Brian Banks. He was a gentleman football player. He spent 5 years in prison for a sexual assault he didn't commit. He wrote a really good piece basically discussing privilege. He spent 5 years in prison. He was a high school football player. A woman accused him of sexual assault. Then she admitted that he didn't assault her, and he got out. He just wrote a piece that's pretty excellent just discussing privilege because, you know, for something that he didn't do, he spent 5.5 years of his life, and this guy did do it, you know, pretty
with
much.
Witnesses.
He had witnesses and is going to get 3 months. And then you brought up the hunting ground with Jameis Winston and that young woman. And as a former Division I football player, you'll be surprised at some of the things that these young men get away with. But the fact that you have police departments, the Tallahassee Police Department, that are involved trying to cover this stuff up because they eventually see dollar signs with this guy,
right.
which I still find somewhat, well, it's not somewhat, I just find it sickening that, you know, and Jameis, you know, legally he got off, but it just kind of, I don't have children yet, but if I have a daughter, I don't know what I'm going to do because I just, you know, you're going to get homeschooled. I'm going to keep you up in lock and key because even if you are violated, there's somebody that can, you can get off on doing this, which is, pretty pathetic, a pretty pathetic statement. And I'm a guy who, I spent some time in the military, I spent some time in law enforcement. You just don't do it. But the fact that you have judges and parents making excuses, and like I said, other women making excuses, it's sort of mind-boggling.
Blows the top of your head right off, doesn't it?
And really, that is rape culture. That's what this topic that we keep coming back to is. And it's the societal permissive nature that sort of gives guys, and I won't say all guys, I will say affluent white guys, a slap on the wrist because boys will be boys. And always.
And they've got important things to do, you know.
Always questions women's motives and women's pasts in these cases. Just really to the point of what you're saying, there is a character reference written for Brock Turner. That was by a friend of his, I think it was Linda Rasmussen. And I read so many of these character letters that I hardly even knew what to say afterwards. I had nothing to say, and that's so rare for me. She actually, to quote her letter, says, "Rape on campuses isn't always because people are rapists." Talked a lot about how, you know, this is just an act of clouded judgment because there was a lot of alcohol involved. But he's not a rapist. He's not a monster. He just had some bad judgment for a minute. You know, so please don't take his future away because he's really a nice guy. And in fact, everyone just thought he was the biggest sweetheart in high school.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
There's hardly anything to say.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Really
thank you so
it.
Much, Aaron, for your call. And thanks for being one of the good guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And 503-231-8187, the number to call. Judge Persky, in his sentencing, said, "I think he will not be a danger to others." That's why his sentencing was so light. "I think he will not be a danger to others." Really? How's that worked out so far? Seems to me like if you're sexually assaulting a woman who's unconscious behind a dumpster, you are a danger to others. De facto, right? All right.
That's why you're not a judge, Ani.
I suppose that might be the case. let's go ahead and talk to Heather. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
You're on the air.
So that letter really addressed bit of my question. So I've been thinking about the fact that...
How so?
The statistics are how they are. There are that huge amount of men sexually assaulting women and men. So I would like to know what's going on with them. What, because no one's speaking up, no one's saying, you know, oh, I date raped a girl in college to their son, and then saying how not to get to that place, how not to accept the society says that's okay. Nobody's speaking out who's been a perpetrator because it's a crime and because they don't identify themselves as a rapist. So it's not, the culture's not changing. We're fighting against it, but we're fighting against this mountain that has a cloak in front of it. And no one in that mountain is speaking out about why they did those things, even though afterwards they might have felt terrible and wanted to bury it. So there's this mountain we can't deconstruct from this side that has to be taken down from the other side.
Are you talking about like men who have perpetrated then coming forward and saying, you know, like having that... moment of clarity and conscience where they're like, okay, these are the factors that went into my behavior.
Right. And what can I do to teach the next men and people not to do this?
There are actually groups like that. Yeah. I know Vancouver, BC, because we've interviewed them. but there are others. And I will try to find those resources and post them to our Facebook page.
Well, that's inspiring because if you're walking through a mall, if you think the statistics of how many women have been perpetrated, then there's that same statistic out there of the men that you're walking by who have perpetrated.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad to know there's some groups, and I really hope that spreads, and that if any men are listening to this and you've been in that situation, that you think about that, and even if you can't speak out, what can you do to help the next generation?
Right. All right. Thank you very much. And 503-231-8187, the number to call. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
You are listening to KBOO, your community radio station here in Cascadia. You can listen online anywhere you are at kboo.fm. And you can also please like us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/positively revolting. And in the Twitterverse, you can follow us at Positive Revolt.
Yes, you can. And do it now. So there was an article in the Huffington Post called A Gentleman's Guide to Rape Culture. And he defines it, but it says, now that you know what it is, what can you do about rape culture? Sort of in what our last caller was talking about. Avoid using language that objectifies or degrades women. Speak out if you hear someone else making an offensive joke or trivializing rape. If a friend says she has been raped, take her seriously and be supportive. These seems like common sense things, but what the heck? Think critically about the media's message about women, men, relationships, and violence. Think critically about the media's message about everything. Be respectful of others' physical space, even in casual situations. Always communicate with sexual partners and do not assume consent. Define your own manhood or womanhood. Do not let stereotypes shape your actions. Good for starters.
Yes, that seems basic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and talk to Elliot. Good morning, Elliot. You're on the air.
Well, I'm going to really make what I consider sort of a logically inverse point to the first old woman who was actually raped. I, long ago, had my reputation publicly attacked for giving a very kindly worded Valentine card and a scholarly monograph to a woman at Harvard who, said she didn't like it even though she kept the stuff. And I have the following, legal point. At places like the U of O, the really important thing is to detect, flagrant serial rapists, who are operating, with psychopathy. And it's argued that because women are too traumatized in many cases, it's all right for them not to go promptly to the health service not to file a report with the police if they don't really want to, and so on. You know, if there was a highly confidential, probably online system of having people send confidential reports to a university office, so that if two
Elliot,
or three
your point?
Reports of the same on the same man came in,
Elliot,
that
what's your point?
Actual intercourse rape, then they, you know, they could prosecute the person.
Actual
but
intercourse.
Feminists
rape.
Have no right to say, "Oh, it's all right. They're too traumatized. They shouldn't go to the health service if they don't want to, and
Elliot.
They shouldn't go to the police."
Elliot, hold up. First of all, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that if you have not been subjected to the sorts of report writing and examinations that rape victims are, you really have no business, really none, in saying that, you know, it's just this little thing, and if you're traumatized, well, you know, frankly, I can hear the sneering in your voice, and it doesn't sit well with me. Also, a man doesn't need to be a serial psychotic rapist, okay? It can happen once. It can be a really messed up piece of judgment on your behalf, and that woman's life is still changed by it. It doesn't have to be that the guy does it over and over again, and he doesn't have to fit your definition of what a rapist is, okay?
Saying you can't detect a serial rapist. You know,
what is serial rapist reporting? As opposed to a rapist? Right? If you do it once, you do it once. And you should, in fact, be punished for it. Okay? It doesn't need to be the serial rapist. It doesn't need to be the boogeyman in a dark alley, which we all know is code for a non-white guy. Right?
No, I'm not talking about
I'm just saying this.
I'm talking about a stranger. Not the,
a stranger. Okay, well, when I was raped, by my grandfather, and I was raped by my good friend.
Statistics are 73% of the time a woman knows her rapist. 73% of the time.
But, you know, I don't know if that was, if that was.
No, you don't know. And that is my point, Elliot.
It's not a good idea for it to be hidden.
We're just going to go ahead and let you go. Bye, Elliot. Go back to rape culture. Think well under the tree of woe someplace else. Good morning, Courtney. You're on the line.
Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Courtney.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And being able to share with you. I'm a mother of a 15-year-old and have done my darndest to speak with her, you know, over the years about how to protect herself, how to present herself so that she doesn't get raped. You know, you work on all these prevention things, and I just want to say that I am very proud of the young ladies today to take it upon themselves to begin to better defining rape culture.
Yeah.
So that my daughter can move away from shame,
right?
Even though she's never been assaulted,
right?
Ever. She
yeah.
feels shame.
Right.
So... And as we get ready to, you know, prepare her for college, I would like to see, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing some traction within all areas of our culture. There's just, you know, a light to be shown in every corner of darkness, you know, whether that it's a family scenario, your boogeyman jumping out at you, which we all know is the least likely
of
all cases.
Sure.
Of all. This particular case with the Stanford gentleman, I find particularly disturbing. I started crying when I was hearing that how many women, particularly at Stanford, experienced this.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah.
Compared to other colleges, as if colleges all weren't struggling with this.
Yeah. Right.
So... as somebody who tries to, you know, address things politically without race being an issue or privilege being an issue, because I prefer, you know, that to use humans as a
well. Good luck, because race and privilege are huge issues. But if I don't know how you can avoid them, but good luck with that.
I know this is. I mean, you have to look at it in this case. I'm all for. I've signed.
That's because it's there. That's because it's there and it's an issue.
There.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't how I was raised. You know what I mean? And I really want to also before I let you go, I really want to congratulate those two gentlemen who took it upon themselves to make a civilian's arrest in this woman's case.
Yes.
And I'm just shocked in 2016 that that's not enough.
Right.
Unbelievable. So. Bravo.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Guy. It's like his guilt is not even in question.
Well, and also,
and he's getting 4 months in a county jail.
Right, and everyone's shocked that this is happening in 2016. But what's really happening in 2016 is that people's awareness is being raised a little bit about it. This has been going on pretty steadily
forever.
And
forever.
Yeah, nothing has changed. And hopefully, just from exposure, and this woman's very courageous and beautifully thought out letter, that and the exposure of this case that. There will be more more awareness and more action and to elevate things a little bit and make this start not being such a problem.
Yeah, her ability to articulate what's going on here, I'm just very proud, very astonished that she can even function and do this. So I really, really appreciate her putting herself out there, the situation out there, and being a fighter so that my daughter can see that.
Absolutely.
As a role model.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Her letter, I think, is a watershed moment. It really is. It's
And there's a reason, because most women have experienced this to some degree. I've heard a statistic that 1 out of 4 females has experienced assault.
Yeah. I've heard 1 out of 3.
You know your friends. You know it's more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's more. Those are reported cases. We all know it's more. When you start including the date rape scenarios. Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, we didn't know what it was. I mean, it's like, oh, what exactly is rape? And to just bring this out to let, you know, it's when you say no, it's something you didn't ask for. It's so very black and white and not so great.
It's your fault. I know.
I know.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And it was always terrible and it's always been. So,
well, I think, and really, you know, for raising girl children, you know, teaching them the power of no, and
raising boys,
and definitely
helping them understand
absolutely
their strength and how to apply that and how to use that and what sexual intimacy is actually about.
Right.
Because to make it about power is frightening every time.
And also part and parcel with that is also teaching all gendered kids.
All people. Yeah.
Teaching people that the power of yes is okay too. Right?
Sure.
Because I
yeah.
think that rape culture thrives in a culture of pseudo-Puritanism.
Right.
Where where women are not supposed to enjoy sex, where we're not supposed to be okay with it. Right? And so we're kind of taught to hem and haw and be like, oh, I don't know, you know? And that is, to be unclear in these moments doesn't help anyone. And it takes away your power. It takes away your agency. And of course, I want to be really clear that unless you're saying yes enthusiastically, that's no.
Sarcasm.
You know, right? But many women really still don't feel like yes enthusiastically is really a good option, because then you get slut shamed. So,
well,
slut shaming is a part of this, right?
It's a part of rape
culture.
And I see young kids talking about it,
yeah.
And I'm proud of them. And you know, the letter that Sarah Silverton wrote on 10 tips how to prevent rape, I just
Sarah Silverman.
I just adore her for saying,
yes.
Don't rape her. Get your rape whistle if you feel like you're going to rape somebody.
Right.
You know,
put
some onus onto. The victimizer, the perpetrator.
Absolutely.
You know, this is anywhere from just kind of coming along and fondling a girl who's sleeping, which I've experienced I don't even know how many times.
Right.
It was never okay. There's nothing okay about it. So I'm glad that we're opening smaller and smaller conversations and looking at that piece. You know, what a girl wore, what she drank,
did she know him? Were they friendly? Yeah, all of those
matter.
Things.
Why did they do it? Why did they do it? You know, and there in some very smaller cases, sure, some guys don't understand consent. This is such an outstanding court case that's not even a subject that I'm going to discuss right now on the show.
Right, right.
But I'm talking about boys in their, you know, very formative young years where they're probably acting upon false information because someone hurt them too. And nobody gave them the right to say yes or no. And they think that, you know, this conquest of women, that it's okay.
Well, really, do we need to look much further than Brock Turner's father's letter to see where he might have gotten his ideas?
That I got it's okay. nothing to look at.
You know?
For them.
Like, you know, 20 minutes of action, is it really in his 20 years of life, this 20 minutes of action is something to judge him on? So says
I
his father. So asks his father.
Says that to my daughter, that
you
God
know,
help me.
Yeah, right.
God help me.
Not a pacifist. Okay.
Right. Well, thank you for your time, ladies.
Thank you very much for yours. Take good care. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. You can also follow along in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. You can check us out on Facebook, where we will put all manner of resources that people are asking for and suggesting.
How many likes do we have now on Facebook?
We're up to 700.
All right.
333 Twitter followers, 700 Facebook fans. This is important to us because it means that we actually get to share information and get to continue to communicate throughout the week. And it's not just this 1 hour set aside anymore, because when it comes to changing the world, 1 hour a week is not enough. So 503-231-8187. What are your thoughts on this? We want to know. Also, apparently, we are not in the mood to suffer fools lightly, perhaps or at all. Rape apologists, look out. 503-231-8187. And good morning, Annalisa.
Good morning. I just have one thing to say. In one of the interviews, I don't know on which program it was, after the judgment came down, it was mentioned, apparently, that Reed College has a high number of rape cases. And I wonder if you have looked that up at all.
I have not. I have not checked out the varying differences between college campuses in town. I'm going to go ahead and guess they all have a problem.
Yeah, well, that is not exactly what I would have expected at Reed College.
I would expect it at every campus.
But, yeah. So, anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, it's interesting because we have these stereotypes. You know, it couldn't happen at Reed because everyone that goes there are, like, you know, really cool people. Yeah, guess what? Really cool guys rape sometimes. And what, you know, what do we say about that? You know, it's just sort of that same idea that Turner's friends were writing his character letters about. You know, when Linda Rasmussen talks about the fact that, you know, he's a really cool guy. He dated her best friend. He was never anything but a perfect gentleman. He was such a sweetheart. She attached a photo of Brock in high school because he always has this huge smile on his face. And the caption of the high school yearbook was "Daw," because he's always the sweetest to everyone. And, you know,
until he's not, apparently.
Sort of that same stereotype, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking at, well, but Reed, how could Reed have problems with this? Because they're more enlightened. They're more, you know, whatever. I don't know what that stereotype is. You know, I can tell you that I went to this amazing, wonderful, hippy-dippy high school. And really, everyone there was very, very cool. Right? Sort of that same reputation. And I still got raped by one of my friends. Right? Because that's rape culture. Because we try to compartmentalize that rape is something that is only done by the bad guys that don't fit those stereotypes of loving, you know, hippy dippy, whatever.
I think it's not understanding privilege a lot too.
There we go. That's exactly it.
And you know, in college, my experience in college was when it was my first time of being away from home, and you got to try out some things, and I think that, you know, rape is not really about sex, it's about power, as we all know.
Exactly.
That some of these fellows that have been raised in privilege are going to want to try out some of, and not been raised to realize that, like our good friend Aaron this morning, rape is absolutely wrong and something you don't do. It's there, and they don't have any governor, apparently,
well,
as they say.
And I just want to talk, I'm going to go ahead and quote this paragraph from this letter, because frankly, it was this letter that made I'm still apoplectic. I can't characterize it. I ran through my house screaming a lot. I possibly unnerved my dog. This letter, character reference for Turner, from his longtime friend, who is a woman, says, Brock is not a monster. He's the farthest thing from anything like that, and I've known him much longer than the people involved in this case. I don't think it's fair to base the fate of the next 10-plus years of his life on the decision of a girl who doesn't remember anything but the amount she drank to press charges against him. I'm not blaming her directly for this because that isn't right. But where do we draw the line and stop worrying about being politically correct every second of the day and see that rape on campuses isn't always because people are rapists? It is because these universities market themselves as the biggest drinking party schools in the country. They encourage drinking, something that was unreadable. I was actually trying to take this off of a, scan of the original document. Unreadable word. Think it is disgusting, and I'm so sick of hearing that these young men are monsters, when really you are throwing barely 20-somethings into these camp-like university environments that support partying, and then your mind is blown when things get out of hand. This is completely different from a woman getting kidnapped and raped as she is walking to her car in a parking lot, because that is a rapist. These are not rapists. These are idiot boys and girls having too much to drink and not being aware of their surroundings and having clouded judgment.
Oh, wait, I have to go get the top of my head again.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah. It goes on. Another line or two, but I don't even think I can read that.
And
I just wanted to bring that up because, again, it's that stereotype of what real rape is as opposed to just non-consensual sex. Non-consensual sex. Well, that's not real rape. That's not psychotic serial rape, as our previous caller kept trying to classify real rape from I'm not sure what. You know, no, actually,
it's not sex, it's rape.
You are forcing yourself in a sexual way upon somebody who is not saying yes, that's rape. And yeah, I'm pounding the table. I know it's bad form. There I am. That's rape, right? Does it make you a monster? Well, it all depends. Do you think? Yeah, maybe. It makes you somebody who doesn't care about another person's feelings and agency over your own for that amount of time.
It makes you guilty of rape.
It makes you guilty of rape. So however we want to like try to, you know, look at that, maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't vilify criminals in general. Maybe we should look at it as, wow, you're having some psychological issues. How do we help you integrate back into society? Because obviously you can't be trusted on your own. You're raping, killing, you know, whatever. But unless we're going to take that sort of restorative justice approach to everything, then let's not have exceptions for nice, white, affluent students who are good at sports. Okay? Like, let's just not. Or, you know, nice hippie boys that write nice poetry. Or whatever it is. Like, let us not have those exceptions. Because really, it's the same act. And it doesn't have to be somebody getting kidnapped and dragged into a parking lot. Thank you, Ms. Rasmussen, for your opinion on that. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And I do believe the bases are loaded. Yeah, let's go ahead. Talk to Paul.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. Great show as always. I love KBOO and I love your show.
Why, thank you.
Randy Rhodes would be proud, I'm sure.
I don't know. We're not Democrats. She might not be.
So there's a couple points that I wanted to chime in on. You know, I was in the military back in the 80s, and there was a point one evening where we were all partying, and there was a couple of us with a young woman, and she was also in the service, and, you know, and then she passed out. And one of the guys said, hey, let's take her over there, and then, you know, we can just, you know, do whatever. And it was a flash of, like, all of a sudden I became so sober. I was like, wait a minute, no, something's totally wrong here. And so I think that's the key to a lot of these guys who have this ideal that they can just do anything with women they want without consent. You've got to have consent. And you know, when it was all said and done, we took the young woman back to the barracks and we put her in bed, and that was it. But it scared me because I knew what these guys would do in the future in the military. And I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff in the military that goes on. But I've also been on the other side of the hill. I've been attacked by two women and practically raped by two women. And I look back and I go, that's crazy. Why would any guy turn down two women? But it was just the sense of power and the sense of violence in it just was wrong. And when it's wrong, it's wrong. And when it's right, it's right. And so...
And it gets down
I
to consent.
I appreciate you guys bringing this up.
Hey, thank you very much for sharing your experience too, Paul. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And yeah, the basics is consent, period. No matter who you are, no matter what gender, no matter anything, the basis is consent. And let's look at that. And let's look at what the neo-puritanical milieu in which we swim in has to, you know, what kind of interplay that has with this issue.
And the patriarchal view that sex is power.
And
not love.
The also
just
the flat out objectification of women that if they're passed out, you know, really that the attitude of Paul's colleagues there basically underscores the fact that women are not human in a lot of guys' views, right? We're not fully human. We're not like a guy anyway. You know, I mean, guys are human. We're more, you know, objects of pleasure.
The only thing that stands between
objects
them,
of pleasure and caretaking.
Yeah, between consent and non-consent is your being conscious?
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and talk to Georgia. Good morning, George.
George,
you're on the air.
Good morning, you two.
Good morning, George.
Yes, good morning. Look, interesting subject as always, but I want you know, we use the word consent quite a bit, and consent can mean several things to various people, and consent can also be passive. In my single days, I looked for more than consent. I looked for active, enthusiastic participation.
I believe I said a couple of times, unless somebody's enthusiastically saying yes, then you've got an issue.
I mean, I found that consent often meant, well, okay, I'll go ahead and let you do this, but you owe me. And I didn't like that you owe me aspect. So I wanted, look at, hey, let's say, you know, if you're not going to enjoy this, we're not going to love each other in the way that our relationship could allow, then I don't want any part of it. And I just didn't... I didn't want to feel that I owe you now because you gave in.
Well, that's another whole topic.
It is.
That I don't know if we have time to get into, but I thank you for your call, George. And yes, enthusiastic consent, always a good idea. Enthusiastic
participation.
That's it, yes.
Participation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye. Let's go ahead and talk to Linda. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air. I'm sorry. Good morning, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just tuning into the later part of the program, so I hope I'm not repeating anything that was said before, but I just wanted to touch on some comments that I've seen, you know, in online articles
and
comments and everything about the sentencing. And something that I realized is so many people, including obviously the judge, based on his statements about why he was so lenient with this sentence, is that people have this idea that these really privileged people are coming from way up here and already by having committed this rape and being even tinily punished and, you know, ooh, having to register as a sex offender, they're losing so much, boo-hoo-hoo. And so, you know, he's not going to be able to swim in the Olympics and he's not going to be able to go to Stanford and he won't be the head of a Fortune 500 company. And that becomes the sentence.
Right.
Like that is the punishment right there.
Right. And it's the loss of privilege.
That
should be punishment enough.
Somehow that's deemed to be enough.
And you know he'll still be able to be a Fortune 500 guy. That's not going to keep him from that.
Of course.
Maybe the Olympics.
When people say, oh, his life is ruined. I'm like, yeah, his life is ruined until his daddy lets him change his name and sets him up with his golf buddies, you know, whatever company.
Yeah, Michelle, thank you so much for pointing that out, because that is totally the underlying attitude in his father's letter, you know, where he talks about, you know, for the last year, his son hasn't even enjoyed steak.
He hasn't enjoyed his ribeye and his pretzel snack.
And it's so sad to see him like that. Isn't he suffered enough?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
The statements from the rapist himself and from the father and from the friend and from the judge, I read them all.
Yeah.
And they are all just so... they're all exactly on the same page. They're all coming from the exact same rape culture standpoint. And they're all just saying the same thing. Hasn't this guy suffered enough because of alcohol and party culture and what happened to him that we really shouldn't do anything more than that, because that's already a big enough loss.
Right. Yeah, Persky, the judge, says that he understood that the survivor had been devastated, but gave Turner the light sentence anyway, because sending him to prison would have had a severe impact on him.
And well, how good to have a
severe impact.
This boy needs a severe impact.
Would have a severe impact. We'd best not do that. He's, you know, already not enjoying steak. For God's sake.
People are confusing justice with consequences. Like,
yeah.
Yes, if you do a crime and you're way up here and you fall way down there, those are the consequences of your action. That's still not the punishment that the court system is supposed to
And again, out. Just to point out, this is a guy who is found guilty by the jury of 3 counts of felony sexual assault and was actually arrested in the act.
Where
right?
are the mandatory sentencing laws now?
And so you can't really say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Right.
Justice is when that same thing would happen to anybody else, and all of those punishments would be commensurate with the crime that they committed.
Right. I thank you so much for your call this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. It's a great show.
Thanks. We have somebody who actually wrote in a comment. Thank you, Happy Crone, for joining us again this morning. She asked the question, which has been in the back of my head, too. She says, I have to ask and wonder, had the two strangers been American instead of Swedish students, would they have stopped him and held him until authorities arrived?
I hope so.
I kind of hope so, too. And yet, I wonder. I have wondered that myself. You know, in America, we're kind of thought like, well, I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know. I'm not going to get involved in that. I don't know. I haven't been here the whole time. I don't know what might have happened.
In the Gentleman's Guide to Rape Culture,
just
he talks
that's
about
an
doing
interesting
that.
Question.
Yeah.
We have 2 minutes left. Good morning, Linda. You are back and with us. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning. I wanted to address the alcohol aspect of all of this, where in our culture it seems like I have consumed alcohol, so that's an excuse for my behavior. Or the college promotes partying and alcohol, and so they can expect rape. I mean, you know, consuming alcohol does not absolve you of your responsibility for your
yeah,
actions.
Right. Near as I can figure, that's not an excuse.
Yeah.
Like if you get in your car after having a few drinks and you say hit somebody, you can't say, oh, I'm sorry, my judgment was impaired, I had a few drinks. In fact, that's another crime.
Right.
So I'm just...
They're not going to be saying, oh, you've suffered enough. DUI for you.
So,
DUI.
Right. And also that I've suffered enough. I've heard of senators using that when they, please don't send me to jail. I have already suffered enough. My reputation has been ruined.
Yes.
Well, so sorry. You know, you
right.
did the crime.
Yeah, should have thought of that. Should have thought of that.
Yeah.
Hey,
thank
Linda,
you
thank you
call.
So very much. We are so
out
of
show.
Thank you.
Best. And with that, in fact, we must close. My friends, and for another week, bid you adieu. We will, in fact, be back next week. Do follow along on Facebook. We are there, Positively Revolting, as ever. Follow along in the Twitterverse, at Positive Revolt. And let's continue this conversation. So much to be said.
Thank you for listening.
A time when every second, every day, when every act.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th, to take place in locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence is an annual celebration of placemaking, community, natural building, music, and art. During the daytime, there will be 35 natural building and public arts projects to take part in. During the evening, there will be food, speakers, musical performances, and more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th in Portland. Information on project locations, performances, speakers, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. Time is 8:59 a.m. Coming up at 9, Progressive Spirit host John Shuck speaks with Dr. Nahida Gordon, a Palestinian-American who wrote the book Palestine is Our Home, Voices of Loss, Courage, and Steadfastness. Then at 9:30, we speak with Matthew Charles Cardinale, a Portland-based housing advocate, about an ordinance for affordable housing impact statements that he has presented to Multnomah County. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints. And at 11 on the Digital Divide, we hear an extended statement from Chelsea Manning, and later a talk by Medea Benjamin, given at the Left Forum in New York City. The theme was Rage, Rebellion, and Organizing Our Power. Speaking of organizing and of power, KBOO is powered by an organized group of volunteers and a whole lot of community supporters. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member of the KBOO Foundation, you can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm. You click where it says the word donate. And now, this.
From KBOO in Portland, Oregon, this is Progressive Spirit, progressivespirit.net. I'm John Shock. The Presbyterian